tasted, tasted love so sweet, and all of it was lost on me. Bought and sold like
property. Hello and welcome back to Open Language. This is Connor.
And this is Adam.
And today we have an advanced lesson for you if you're interested in becoming a CEO.
That's right. What does it take? That's the question you should be asking yourself.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure we've all asked that question. So we're going to take a look at an article that was in the New York Times. And today we're doing part one.
That's right, because becoming a CEO is no easy feat.
Mm-hmm, right.
And so as a result, we've broken it into those two parts. Now today, part one is a monologue.
That's right, yes. So we're going to listen to the first half of this monologue, and let's take a listen.
All right.
People often try to crack the code of the best path to becoming a CEO, but the world doesn't really work that way. There are too many variables, many of them way beyond your control. The New York Times' Adam Bryant has interviewed hundreds of chief executives through his years of writing the Corner Office column. Here's what he learned. A surprising number of CEOs do not fit the stereotype of the straight-A student who seem destined to run a big company someday.
Okay, so we just heard the first half of the monologue for today. Right away, people often try to crack the code.
Okay, so the code, the secret.
Like the password.
The password, yeah, exactly.
Crack.
Crack just means kind of solve it.
Yeah, solve it. If you imagine cracking an egg, you can get into it. You can break it, basically.
Yeah.
I think of like hackers.
Yeah, they're always cracking codes.
Yeah. But in this case, it's not a bad thing. You're not hacking any mainframe or something.
Mm.
What are you cracking? Which code are we cracking?
The code we're cracking here is one that tells us how to be a CEO. What is the best way? What is the best path?
Right, exactly, yeah. Like you said, path, it just means the best way. We're not hiking in the forest here.
Yeah.
Not that kind of path.
Exactly. Now, crack the code is a great phrase to mean like figure something out, to solve something.
Yeah.
Since this is an advanced lesson, I probably should shed my own opinion here. A path is a certain image in your mind, and a code, all the things that Connor just mentioned about, you know, mainframes and hackers, that's another image in my mind.
Right.
This would be what I would call a mixed metaphor.
Oh, okay.
Cracking the code of a path. Like, yeah. That doesn't really...
That's right. You've got a path in a forest, and then you've got a code, which is like computers.
Computers,
and
yeah. So, I mean, like, we get it, but come on, New York Times, you can do better than this.
Right. So we all have the paths that we choose in life, and we're trying to crack those codes, but it never really works the way we want, or I don't think it does.
Because there's too many variables, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Variables are just things that change often, or they're likely to change.
Yeah, exactly. For any of you math whizzes out there, X plus Y equals Z,
yeah,
or Z,
yeah,
those are all variables.
Exactly.
X and Y are variables.
Mm-hmm, yeah. If you have a plan where many things could go wrong or many things could change, you could say, oh, our plan has too many variables. Let's cancel.
Right. Exactly. Okay. So it sounds like the New York Times' Adam Bryant. Ooh, good name here.
Yeah.
He has interviewed hundreds of chief executives through his years of writing the Corner Office column.
Okay, so chief executives, I'm sure you've seen this. This is CEO.
CEO, yeah. And I mean, I can only imagine that saying CEO is a lot easier than saying chief executive officer or chief executive.
Right, exactly.
So just say CEO.
Yeah. And column here. Now, this is like an article in a newspaper, but different.
Yes. I would say it's like a series of articles.
Oh, yeah. And often they can be like about advice or opinions, right?
Yeah. Like Connor could get a job for, what's the paper in Vancouver?
The Vancouver Sun.
Well, not the Sun. You don't want to do the Sun. Is there a better one?
Oh, I thought that was the best one.
The Sun is an interesting entity in Canada. Anyway, if you did work for The Sun, yeah, you could get, for example, a job writing an advice column. Dear Connor, my girlfriend thinks that I'm too lazy.
Oh, well, in that case, you better get unlazy.
Get unlazy. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, that kind of fits the stereotype of like an advice column answer. Mm-hmm.
Right, stereotype. And a lot of CEOs don't fit this stereotype of being a straight A student.
Well, that's, I mean, duh. I don't know if this surprises anyone out there. First of all, we should just say very quickly, stereotypes. Mm-hmm. Even going back to variables before, all X's are Y's.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Right, or all X's are Y.
Mm-hmm, yeah, just a set idea, a fixed idea about something that maybe is not based in reality.
Well, it's a generalization, right?
Yeah,
so it's going to apply generally, but then, of course, maybe
exceptions.
That's not... There's exceptions, and maybe it's not fair if, you know, I just said all X's are Y. Well, what if X equals women and Y equals... something bad.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
That's a stereotype. Mm-hmm. Stereotypes, of course, are not always welcome. I happen to think they can be real time savers sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. They're based on some, like you said, generalization.
Right, exactly. But this generalization or this stereotype of the CEO as straight A student, like, says who?
Exactly, yeah. I mean, look at Facebook's CEO, Zuckerberg.
Right.
He dropped out of
Harvard.
Right?
Yeah.
Harvard, yeah. Wow.
Bill Gates also dropped out. Mm,
Steve Jobs never went to university.
Never went. He kind of like hung around a university.
He talked to university students, maybe.
Yeah, but like when you think about these like super successful people as straight A students, I'm thinking of all the straight A students I went to school with. Like they all became librarians.
Yeah, researchers.
Researchers.
Yeah.
You know? Like, which isn't to say that's not a good job or a good path, but just CEOs tend to be the ones that didn't get good grades.
Yeah, you could be a straight B student or C student.
Exactly.
Although we wouldn't say straight B or straight C.
Straight B, yeah, straight B.
Yeah.
In any case, a lot of these straight A students, they are not destined to run a big company.
Right, yeah. Oh, your destiny.
Destiny.
Yeah, you've seen this as a noun, destiny. Well,
destiny.
This case, it's a verb, destined.
Yes, exactly. So it's kind of like it's your fate.
Mm-hmm, fate, yeah. Like when I was young, I thought I would be destined to be somebody famous and rich. But, maybe a little bit.
A little bit. A little bit famous, a little bit rich?
No, not rich.
A little bit. Well, it's interesting because we have talked a few times about the difference between destiny and fate. And definitely destiny has that more positive connotation.
Mm-hmm,
whereas,
yeah.
Like, if Connor was fated to be a janitor as
right.
opposed to destined to be, you know, a movie star.
Yeah, I mean, nothing against janitors.
Right.
They have an important job, as fate would have it. Is commonly used a little more negatively.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, I know I am dying. Maybe you guys are also dying to know, what does it take to become a CEO? We will first listen to part two of this monologue and then come back and talk about it.
Sounds good.
So what does it take? For Bryant, he has noticed three recurring themes in the people he has interviewed. First, they share a habit of mind best described as applied curiosity. They want to know how things work and wonder how they can work better. They're also curious about people and their backstories. Second, they love a challenge. Discomfort is their comfort zone. They naturally gravitate to the fire. It's in their DNA. The third theme is how they manage their own careers on their way to the top. They focus on doing their current job well, rather than obsessing over the job they want. That doesn't mean keeping ambition in check. By all means, have career goals. And yes, be savvy about company politics, but focus on building a track record of success and people will keep betting on you.
So we just heard the second half of the monologue and Bryant has three recurring themes.
Okay, recurring. Sounds an awful lot like occur, reoccur.
Yeah. Right, so those are both correct words, recur and reoccur. But in this case, we'd use recur. Usually, recur is something that happens like regularly, like continually, regularly, the same intervals.
Yeah, and I mean, it tends to have lots of fixed expressions there.
Yeah.
Like, for example, recurring dreams.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I have a recurring dream where I'm flying.
Oh, I have a recurring nightmare where I'm
Falling. Yeah. yeah. So we also see it with themes, of course. That could be in like art, or that can be in movies or music, a recurring motif in, you know, a Beethoven piece.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun.
Exactly.
Dun, 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 dun.
Mm-hmm. Or even a recurring illness. So they keep coming back and again and again and again.
Oh, yeah. And I was thinking before about your dreams of being a movie star.
Okay.
Maybe you could have like a recurring role in like a movie series.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
It's maybe a small part, but it, like you said before, it's frequent.
Mm-hmm, exactly. So then what is reoccur?
Well, reoccur, according to the logic we just provided, it's just not as frequent.
Right, right. It's just sort of a basic umbrella word for happened again.
Happened again.
Mm-hmm. So let's take a look at these recurring themes. What is the first one?
Okay, they share, these successful CEOs, they share a habit of mind best described as applied curiosity.
Oh, okay, applied, like applying for a job?
More like just doing something.
Mm-hmm,
like instead
yeah.
of sitting there, like, for example, I've always considered myself to be a curious person, but I would much rather think about something than do it.
Okay, so earlier we were talking about like researchers, those straight A students. They're also very curious. They may just like to read things, but not actually do anything.
Right. Like I'm thinking of a lot of my friends growing up who would like take, like I would get a toy, for example, and I'd be very happy to have that toy, but they would take it apart and, you know, figure out how it works and then put it back together.
Right, exactly. And that's what apply means here. It's you're taking some knowledge and you're using it. You're applying your knowledge.
Yes, exactly. And of course, curiosity is just being curious.
Exactly.
We do have one phrase, though, a fun phrase I like. Curiosity killed the cat.
Right. And also, I'm as curious as a cat.
So if someone is asking you too many questions, you know, what's your salary? Oh, how much is your rent?
Yeah.
When are you getting married? All these questions. You can just say, remember, curiosity killed the cat.
Yeah, don't ask too many questions.
Don't ask too many questions. Exactly.
And speaking of curiosity, those people are also curious about people and their backstories.
Okay, so these kind of, they're people.
Yeah.
Right? They're people.
Yeah.
They love people and they love backstories. Stories of people.
So we know the word background. That could be like your career background, if you have a background in medicine.
Right, academic background. Mm-hmm. It could be your family background.
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
Like everybody in Canada, when you ask someone here, like, where are you from? Canada. No, but where are you from?
Yeah.
Canada. what's your family background?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Like Canadian. No, I mean like British. Oh, okay.
Yeah, exactly. But in this case, backstory is similar but a little different.
Well, it's more about like how you got here. It's not about your family or your, you know, some kind of formal education.
Mm-hmm.
It would be more like the Zuckerbergs and the Bill Gates we just mentioned. Like their backstory is they dropped out of school.
Yeah. Exactly. And there's also this sort of element of it. It's sort of hidden
right.
in a way. Like it's not that there could be something that you didn't know about them. Like, like you said, did you know that Zuckerberg dropped out? That's his backstory.
The other thing I'm thinking of is like Batman or Superman.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Their
yeah.
backstories are Superman was an alien who landed on Earth. Batman was a rich guy who saw his parents get murdered.
Exactly.
And so then became a bat.
Exactly. So it's like it's more about the story of how they became who they are.
Okay. Secondly, these CEOs love a challenge. No surprise there.
Yeah.
This is a cool little phrase. Discomfort is their comfort zone.
Right. So maybe you've seen comfort zone. It's just doing the things that you're used to, that you're familiar with.
Right. You don't want to try anything new.
Yeah, like skydiving.
Well, it could be something extreme like skydiving, or it could be something like, you know, just going out of your way to do more X or Y. I'm still thinking about variables.
Exactly.
But a lot of you have written in the comments, you know, like this year I want to leave my comfort zone and, you know, speak more English to random strangers on the street.
So, yeah. So the sentence doesn't really make sense. It's kind of a paradox. But the point is that you want to get out of your comfort zone.
Right. Exactly. And once you're out of there, you will gravitate to the fire.
Oh, yes, gravitate. So, you know gravity. I mean, that movie Gravity was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Just something is being attracted. You're attracted to something.
Right. It's pulling you.
Oh, and a point here about the preposition. This one says gravitate to, But you could also say gravitate towards.
Sure, sure, sure. So you could say like people who, like, I'm not a psychologist.
Yeah,
I'm not going to pretend to be a psychologist, but, you know, people who show variable X.
Okay, yeah.
Maybe that's like a, you know, like an artistic temperament.
Oh,
or
yeah,
they
yeah.
will, they tend to gravitate towards careers in the arts.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Or often shy people gravitate towards outgoing people.
Yeah, it's true. It's funny how that works,
mm-hmm.
right? It's funny how that works. And of course, this can be positive or it can be negative. Right?
Oh, yeah,
you can
for sure.
gravitate towards bad things.
Like gambling or something?
Gambling, drug use.
Yeah.
You can gravitate towards strong leaders.
Mm-hmm. And in this case, they gravitate toward discomfort, stepping out of their comfort zone because it's in their DNA.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's like part of their personality.
Part of their personality, exactly. And the third theme here is how they managed their own careers on their way to the top.
Right. So instead of like obsessing over the job they want, they focus on their current job.
Obsessing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I've got to do this. I've got to do this.
Yeah. So obsess means you're so wrapped up in some idea, something you can't stop thinking about it.
Right. It kind of controls you.
Yeah, for sure. A note here. So obsessing over, what can you obsess over?
Oh, you can obsess over, well, if you're someone in my family, you probably obsess over the little things, the little unimportant things that don't matter.
Right. So obsessing over is generally kind of negative?
I mean, it can be, right? You obsess over small details. It's like you need people that can obsess over details.
Oh,
for sure. They're called managers. but managers don't tend to be CEOs,
mm-hmm,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, I would say that CEOs are obsessed with success or obsessed
right.
with, you know, a plan or a goal, whereas managers tend to obsess over details.
Right. So key difference there in the preposition, obsessing over, obsessed with.
So that is one thing that did surprise me about this article, because you would think, or I would think, that these CEOs are not really the ones that obsess over, you know, small things like, oh, their current job.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, you think about these visionaries, Steve Jobs, you know, they're all like they're looking towards the future.
Exactly. They're looking at the job they want.
But I mean, I guess those guys are kind of the exceptions, right? And like not every CEO is Steve Jobs.
Yeah, for sure.
Because of course, a lot of these CEOs are super ambitious people.
Right. And keeping ambition in check is pretty hard to do sometimes.
Yeah, especially if you think you're a genius and everyone around you is saying you're a genius and blah, blah, blah.
For sure. So ambition.
Ambition is ambition. It's, you know, I have goals and I'm driven to those goals.
Yeah, that strong desire or wish to, you know, to be successful.
Be successful, do better. You know, it's not a bad thing. Ambitious people are great.
Except certain presidents, maybe.
Well, that can be overly ambitious. That's true. I mean, I tend to, if someone tells me that they are going to, like, you know, I'm going to lose like 10 pounds this week and I'm going to gain all this muscle, I think that's a little ambitious.
Yeah, a little bit too ambitious.
Why don't you just, you know, set smaller, more reasonable goals.
Baby steps.
Baby steps, exactly. Now, more importantly here, we're talking about keeping ambition in check.
Okay, so to keep something in check, it's kind of like putting a limit on something.
Controlling it.
Yeah, right, controlling it. For sure. To an appropriate level.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Do we have any chess players out there? Any chess players? See a show of hands?
Oh, actually.
One or two? One or two?
Yeah, I played chess. I was in the chess club.
I tried, but then like the teacher quit.
Oh, the teacher quit.
Yeah, it was
okay.
All the clubs I tried to join, the teachers, maybe they were too ambitious.
Yeah.
They wanted to go do other things.
Possibly.
But like to keep something in check does come from chess, right? You you put the king in check.
Yes, for sure. You're kind of like controlling. You've subdued the king.
So there's so many things you can keep in check. You can you know, keep your passions in check.
Yeah, you can keep your spending in check.
Yeah, I haven't started to do that yet. Now, of course, keep is it's a pretty simple word, right? You know, we use it all the time, but we do have a lot of really kind of more colloquial, more advanced phrases that that kind of are built from or built with keep, right?
Yeah, they're kind of like collocations. They're chunks used with this keep.
Right. One I'm thinking about, again, not a difficult one, but one we use all the time, keep at it.
Keep at it. Yeah, exactly. Keep going. Don't quit.
Right. Or keep on keeping on.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. That's from an old movie.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And there's another one that I like. It's very I guess we could call it Machiavellian.
Ooh.
That's a good one. Keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
That's a good one. That's good advice sometimes because, you know, you can possibly be more successful if you know your enemies well.
Yeah, and you can kind of, you know, keep them in check.
Oh, yeah, right? Yeah, so for
that's,
sure.
That's what ambitious people do. They keep their opponents in check.
Right, so it's good to keep that in check, but, you know, by all means, have some career goals.
Yeah, exactly. You always see this phrase when you're giving people advice, right?
Yeah,
by all means, do this, but also do that.
By all means, have another drink, but you got to drive home.
Right, yeah, that's good advice. you know, by all means, have fun.
Yeah,
by
go
all,
ahead.
Go, but... You need to study. You need to get, maybe not straight A's, but you need to get B's.
Mm-hmm, yeah. So think of this, again, like as a chunk. Mm. Don't think of mean. Just think of it as one piece.
Right. Go ahead and do this thing. But remember, you also need to do this other thing.
Right. And included in that is being savvy about company politics.
Company politics, also called office politics.
Mm-hmm, right?
That comes up a lot. Savvy, we've always talked about in terms of like being tech savvy, computer savvy.
Business savvy.
Business savvy. And it's really the same idea here. You're just being aware of what's going on around you. Okay, Joe really hates Tom.
Yeah.
But, you know, actually... Susie is having an affair with Bob, and Bob and Tom are allies. You need to know all this stuff.
And you need to know how to use that, how to work around that, like have some kind of practical knowledge for using that.
Right. Bob, I know your secrets.
Like tech savvy, someone who knows how to use the, you know, the set up the projector and the computer and all that stuff.
Right. Okay, and the last thing that we mention in the monologue is focus on building a track record of success. And people will keep, there's keep again, betting on you.
That's right. Yeah, keep betting on you. So a bet is like when you invest some money hoping that something will win.
Right, or gamble. Right? You make a bet.
Gambling, exactly. Yeah. So it, essentially just people, they don't actually have to invest money. They just go for it. And they encourage you. They think you're going to win.
They support you.
Oh, exactly. Right? They support you.
They could be doing it financially or it just could be like emotionally.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, well, that takes us to the end of today's monologue. Why don't we go ahead and listen to that from top to bottom, and then come back and talk about our own thoughts on being a CEO.
Sounds good.
People often try to crack the code of the best path to becoming a CEO, but the world doesn't really work that way. There are too many variables, many of them way beyond your control. The New York Times' Adam Bryant has interviewed hundreds of chief executives through his years of writing the Corner Office column. Here's what he learned. A surprising number of CEOs do not fit the stereotype of the straight-A student who seem destined to run a big company someday. So what does it take? For Bryant, he has noticed three recurring themes in the people he has interviewed. First, they share a habit of mind best described as applied curiosity. They want to know how things work, and wonder how they can work better. They're also curious about people and their backstories. Second, they love a challenge. Discomfort is their comfort zone. They naturally gravitate to the fire. It's in their DNA. The third theme is how they manage their own careers on their way to the top. They focus on doing their current job well, rather than obsessing over the job they want. That doesn't mean keeping ambition in check. By all means, have career goals. And yes, be savvy about company politics, but focus on building a track record of success and people will keep betting on you.
Okay, so we just heard the full monologue and you know, there's a lot of themes, there's a lot of advice in here in part one.
Yeah, it makes me wonder what's coming up in part two.
Yeah.
Some of this stuff, I mean, like I said, some of this sounds really, you know, appealing. It sounds very obvious.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of it sounds kind of counterintuitive as well.
Like not obsessing over your future job, your ambitions.
Right, exactly. In any case, what do you guys think about the themes or the advice found in today's lesson?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so let us know in the comments and we'll see you in part two.
All right, bye guys.
Wasted love for you. Trading out for something new. Well, it's hard to change the world.